Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this very day and the beautiful weather and day that you have provided for us. And as we come together, it is a beautiful reason to worship you, to lift your name on high, to look at your word, to study it, to hear the teachings that come from it. And this morning now, as we open up your word and we look at it deeper, that we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that it would just build us up in our faith and encourage us to go forth to boldly proclaim the glories that you have set before us. We thank you for this opportunity and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are going to return to the book of Ruth. It has been a few weeks since we started to look at this particular book. I think it was on Mother's Day when we looked at Naomi and how she had set such an example for us in her relationship with Ruth through the calamities of having lost her husband and then her two sons, but that her faith didn't waver, that she was still someone who knew who the God of Israel was. And that when she had gone down to the land of Moab, that she her sons married the Moabite women, and when her sons pass away, Ruth, the one son's wife, stays with her and has listened to her and her testimony and her speaking of who this one true living God is, the God of Israel. And through that encounter of Ruth and Naomi and hearing those stories, that when time comes that Naomi realizes she can go back home, that she needs to go back home, back to her people, back to where they worship the God of Israel, that Ruth wants to and has the desire to follow her back to this foreign land. That she had seen in Naomi something that just draws her to the God of Israel. She knew that through all these calamities that Naomi was going through, that this God was still faithful to her. She saw his faithfulness to his people. She saw his love and his grace and his strength uphold this woman, though she goes through trial after trial. And it also speaks, I think, of the evangelistic ability of this woman to be able to share the truths that she knows that God had helped her people through all these different things coming out of Egypt, bringing them into the desert, feeding them, taking care of them, and now allowing her the opportunity to come back to her home in Bethlehem. And that's where Ruth's desire is, to go back with Naomi. And Ruth, while she was a Moabite, probably had no one that she worshipped. Or if she did worship anyone, it would have been an idol. And not the God who was the God of this covenant people, the Israelites. And here you see this wonderful example of what it means to be outside of this relationship with God, but yet to hear the message of who he is, and then to have that desire to be brought into relationship. Someone who lives outside that relationship never understands it until by God's grace they start to encounter, they start to hear the gospel, they start to realize that this living God whom they are separated from is drawing them closer in relationship with him. And here the most essential part is that as you're outside and you're a foreigner, you're wondering what in the world could ever bring me into a relationship with this God. You start to realize that there is a Savior provided. That this Savior has come to restore that relationship. Jesus Christ came to heal the schism between sinful man and a holy God. So we come now to the part where Ruth and Naomi have returned back to Bethlehem. And Naomi shares that she has a wealthy kinsman who was a relative of her deceased husband, his name being Boaz. Now may I take this time to point out that through this relationship and through this whole story, it really does build to a beautiful picture, a beautiful example of a sinner being brought into relationship with God. There is that picture of salvation that just is a wonderful, wonderful example of God's grace unto us who are separated from Him, as well as a beautiful love story between these two, Ruth and Boaz. And while we are sinners, and we are foreigners to God in a distant land, we're all together here on earth, but a distant land to God, that we are not in relationship with Him, that it is God's grace that draws us. Same thing within this story. As you see Boaz conduct himself towards Ruth, it is all by grace. There is not anything there that truly merits this favor, but it is by grace that Boaz treats Ruth so well. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals God's grace to us. And in His revealing this grace and showing us who the Savior is, we are drawn to the foot of the cross. We submit our lives to Him. We see that when we are at that foot of the cross, that He is the one who provides the bread of life. As Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem, which means house of bread, we return to Christ, who is the living bread. Our kinsman redeemer, Boaz was to Naomi, Jesus is to us, that He redeems us from our sins. And we see in that relationship between Boaz and Ruth that picture of salvation in our lives. This book is filled with prime examples of love. First, there is the love between a mother and daughter-in-law. There is the love that is there between a foreigner, a foreign girl, and a wealthy landowner. And at each example, and at the heart of each example, is the relationship that they find in God. That He has divinely put His stamp of approval on each of their lives. So if you would turn with me to the book of Ruth, we will begin in the second chapter with verse 6 and go on to verse 16. The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband and has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Ruth, in her desire to help Naomi, survives all the trials. And here she comes into Bethlehem, and she has this desire then to start gleaning the fields, to pick up whatever morsels she could find after the reapers had gone through, after they had made the harvest, whatever had fallen on the ground, she could glean. Or from the corners that would have been left for the poor to be able to come and take the grain that was left. And this was all according to God's law that had been handed down to Israel. And it was a law that was meant to show the key purpose of what God wanted for His people. And that is to show love towards your neighbor. In Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, it says, "Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap of the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." This is clearly teaching how to take care and treat your neighbor. Even the crop that was worked and owned and that was harvested, there was the corners and the pieces that fell that were meant for those who were poorer to come. I'm just going to give you a little tease, something to think about as we talk about harvest and this particular principle of harvesting the field and leaving the corners. And that is, it also builds to a beautiful and perfect picture of the ultimate harvest that God has. Think about it. Something to dwell on. So we find that Ruth is out there gleaning the field while Boaz sees her. And he asks, "Whose young woman is this?" Here is a situation of beautiful picture of sovereign grace, of divine providence, of God's plans working out in an individual to show that He wants these people to come together. As she is out in the field, Boaz spots her, and that he asks about her and wants to know more about her. And it shows where plans of man is different from those of what God has. The mind of man or a woman plans their way, but the Lord directs their steps. And He has brought these people together for His purpose. It's interesting that back in 1977, as I planned my courses for Suffolk Community College, I had to take a class called Oral Communications. One that I think everybody dreads. They say that getting up and doing public speaking is the most phobic type of thing that people have. They'd rather do anything else besides that. Me too. I'll see you later. But as I prepared for the following semester in 1978, and I prepared for that class and went to the class, little did I know that through divine providence, God's hand, He would, through that class, change my life forever and bring me into contact with Olivia in that class. Changed her life too, I guess. But you can see in each of our lives, the steps and the plans that we have made. We were going to go in this direction. We had these plans, these goals. One of my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life, because it spoke to me from the first time I saw it, how this fella, George, was going to travel the world. He was going to see all the great wonders of the world, and how every time he attempted to leave his little town, that something held him back in the town. He never got to go traveling around. And I said, you know, that seems to be my story. When I was younger, I wanted to travel and see things. And, maybe in my old age, but we'll see. What God has in store. Because you never know what plans, what direction He has for our lives. But He does bring us into contact with one another for purposes that He has, working out His will. And you can see that in the situation here with Ruth and Boaz. She could have been out there in anybody's field. She could have been gleaning and working hard in some tyrant's field where he would never have noticed her, maybe even pushed her to work harder. But here in Boaz's field, Boaz spots her. And I wonder how often a landowner would be just simply watching over those working in the field. But he spots her, and he just pours out grace and mercy to her. He shows her a true love for an individual, even though she were a foreigner. And we see in verses 6 and 7, when Boaz asks who this young woman is, the servants reply, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, and she probably said it to the servants that there, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." In the servant's answer to Boaz, he is telling him a lot about the character of who this woman is. This woman, Ruth, is not just any simple woman who had a hunger and a desire to feed herself. First, she is a foreigner in their land. And yet, she follows the customs, the rules, the examples, the law of the land, just as the native people would have. She is assimilating herself into that. She is doing so not just to feed herself, but she is there to glean and gather for her mother-in-law as well. Two widowed women in that society would have had an awfully tough life. And here she was willing to go out, glean, work hard to bring in some food for the two of them. It shows that she is a selfless individual helping out Naomi. She showed a great deal of humility. Rather than just going out in the field, gathering up whatever she could and getting out of there, she asks permission. She asks if she could go out there and glean in the field of Boaz. Even though the poor had the right to just do it, she still humbled herself. She showed a humility in asking permission to do so. She is a hard-working woman out there in the field. Probably only fellas are out there all day long, but she's out there with them, gleaning and gathering. These are qualities that make up a genuinely beautiful individual. The humbleness, the selflessness, the hard work, these are all qualities that just bring out a radiance among a person. I mean, we could look at a supermodel who is gorgeous to the sight, but yet is probably not one you'd want to be near if she's demanding and self-centered and egotistical. But yet in a picture, you'll say that, oh yeah, she's gorgeous, and she probably is in the picture. But it's the true beauty of an individual that comes out when they show this meekness, this humbleness. They're willing to serve. And Ruth has shown that she truly is a woman of Proverbs 31, particularly verse 30. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." So it's a wonderful, wonderful picture here with Ruth. And in verse 8, Boaz is subtly expressing to Ruth to stay in his field. After all, he was probably interested in Ruth. Not just as someone who was poor and that she was helping herself and that he could feed her, but he sees these qualities and he's probably taken a smitten to Ruth as well. So he says, "No, stay in my field. Work here. Please, do not go on to any other field." And then we see it in verse 9. It almost sounds like he is trying to sweet talk Ruth. We hear whereby he's telling her that all the advantages of staying in his field, telling her to look nowhere else, that he would provide for her that the food that she needed, that she should stay right there with his maidservants, and that he could, and that she could follow along with the reapers as they harvest his grain. It would seem that this single woman was venturing out into the fields also could probably be taking her very being into jeopardy, where she could be easy prey to those who were out there working the field. And that's why I think Boaz has said that he had commanded the servants not to touch her, to make her feel as though she were more welcome than the others, and that by his grace he would keep her safe. Not only that, but that she could drink from the fresh water that was there for his servants. They probably had clean water to drink, where those who were out there gleaning on their own had to either scavenge from a stream or whatever they could find when their thirst came upon them. But again, Boaz shows his grace and his mercy and pouring these out for Ruth. Now we look at verse 10, just to read verse 10 again. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" This may be the very first time in a long, long time that somebody has shown such grace and such tenderness towards her. Again, she was a widow. It had happened so long ago. Women were treated as servants or second, third, fourth class citizens in that society. Ruth is not used to this, where somebody was being so kind to her. And her response is what we should have when we have the reality that God's grace is being poured out on us. She offers worship to Boaz in the fact that she falls prostrate onto the ground, face down before him, at his feet. And she can't understand why he would be so gracious towards her. As she said, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" In Ruth's mind, she can't understand why this special attention is being paid to her. The word favor in the Hebrew is, probably not pronouncing it right, chen, C-H-E-N, which simply means grace, and we know grace to be an unmerited favor. It's not something that she had worked for, something that she had strived for, but it is something that Boaz, in his heart, desires to give her. And that is that unmerited favor that no other individual out in his field is receiving. Should we not be like Ruth when we see the reality of God's grace being poured out to us? When we are saved and God's Spirit fills us and we realize with all certainty that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that we should fall face first, prostrate on the ground before his feet and say, "How is it that you found that I have found favor with you? For I am a foreigner." And we are foreigners. We're separated from God until he develops that relationship with us. And that when our Heavenly Father pours out the grace that he does, we should be there first and foremost saying thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. And by his word, we can grow stronger in our faith in him to understand what he has done for us. And we see here the example that Boaz has done for Ruth in providing these things as fresh water, as grain, as a safe haven. We see them coming from our Lord as well. For has he not provided us living waters that we could freely drink from, that never to thirst again? And are we not safe to travel about if someone should take our life? But this is only a temporary life. We have the certainty and the security of an eternal life, where if we lose this one, we go on to live with him, that no one should touch us. For how is it, as the scriptures say, no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No one can touch us. He provides us the grain, the nourishment, the food of his word when he gives us the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He truly has given us what Boaz has shown to Ruth. He has given us in the spiritual realm so that we would fall face first at the feet of our Lord and our Master and say thank you, that we would serve him. We see in verse 11 that it basically tells Ruth that Boaz has heard about the way she has helped Naomi, and that she has cared for this woman who she really had no other ties with, and how she had left her family behind and her land and left everything to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. So Boaz has checked out Ruth's background. He has heard the good things that she has done. It's almost as though when we are called by God, and we are called from that foreign land to follow Him, that we leave the things of that of our former lives behind, that we leave ourselves behind, that we follow our Lord and our Master into a new land and into a new covenant, and that our desire is to take up our residence and to live within Him. He has provided us with a new land, and that is His body here on earth. And that when we do close our eyes here, that we hear those words, "Thou good and faithful servant," that we would be with Him eternally. Verse 12 shows the spiritual perception of Boaz, where he says, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Yes, the Lord will reward Ruth in the work that she has demonstrated towards her mother-in-law. But I don't think Boaz really understands what that reward is. He might have thought maybe, okay, you know, you'll be taken care of here in this world. But the reality is, God's reward to Ruth will be that she would be along the lineage, the genealogy of the Savior of the world. Boaz and Ruth will come together. They will become the great-grandparents of King David, and eventually the King of Kings. They will be part of that lineage. What a great reward for her faithfulness to Naomi. Boaz is absolutely right in saying that God would reward her. And that he sees that Ruth had sought refuge within the God of Israel, that she was under God's wing and had taken refuge in His protection, and that He provides protection. Boaz is going to provide protection as well. But the protection that God provides is one that we step into in faith. And we see that David even sought this as well. In Psalm 18:8, he writes, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." What better place to be but then under the wings of our Lord and our God. Now this is a metaphor. It's not saying that God is like a bird that has wings or anything like that. But it draws for us a beautiful picture of a mother bird who is there to protect her young. When prey are circling above the nest, where do the young go? But under the wings of their mother. When a storm comes some sort of natural element that might hurt the young bird, they go underneath their mother's wings. There is a place of protection there. That is where Ruth is finding herself with her Lord, that she has taken refuge under the Lord's wings. And isn't that where we want to be, under our Lord's wings, where we can step into Him when hard times come, knowing that He is our fortress and our refuge, so that whatever storms in life come our way, we are protected by Him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Paul sought that same refuge under God's wings. And God responded to Paul by saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." And it ought to be for us as well. Verse 13 shows again how Ruth was surprised by the attention that Boaz is showing her. Because he not only paid her more attention than the others, but that the word favor here is that he is showing her grace. That he is showing that he is speaking to her, not just as a servant, but speaking to her as from heart to heart. They are coming together under the God of Israel, so that their communications are deeper than just two people generally speaking. Isn't it the way with Christians sometimes, where you get to meet somebody, complete stranger, and all of a sudden you hit it off, and you find out that both of you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, it seems as though we almost known each other forever. And that's what happens when we come under His protection. Verse 14 is more favor and more grace being shown to Ruth by Boaz. Now some might think that Boaz is just being a smooth operator and trying to keep this woman by his side. But it is for her good that he is doing this. He invites her to take of the grain and to eat bread and to take that bread that she has and to dip it into the vinegar. Now, when we read it and we think, oh, who'd want to dip bread into vinegar? It sounds like an awful thing. But apparently back then they used sort of like a condiment. I would imagine it came from the grapes and it might have been fermented, and that they would take, dip, maybe it was like a jam or a jelly or something that they had, but it would be put on the bread and that they would eat it. I would imagine it's good that he wouldn't have invited her to dip it into just some sour vinegar and eat it. But to show that it may have fermentation is that the Nazarites could not eat of that vinegar. And here Boaz is preparing this meal for Ruth, and it's just like our good shepherd does when he prepares a table before our enemies, and he fills our cup until overflowing, and he just provides so much. This is the same God who fed 5,000 so long ago. He feeds us even to this day. So here you can see that Boaz has found favor with Ruth, in Ruth, and that he is taking care of her. He permits her to glean, and he even asks his servants to kind of help her out. Leave a little extra on the side for her. Make it easy for her to be able to pick up. He truly is showing grace to this woman. And have you ever experienced God's grace being poured out on you? I certainly hope so. Have you ever thought of yourself as being undeserving? How is it that this God who created the universe, created everything, has found favor in us? What measure of grace he has poured out for us. Why would he be so good to me? Why would he ever send his only begotten son to die in my place that I might never die? Has he really atoned for my sins by his blood? And it was by his love for us and by his grace that he did that on Calvary's hill. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, that is greater than all my sins. God's grace truly is and absolutely is amazing. And all we can do when we realize that grace that has been poured out to us is fall before his feet and say thank you. Thank you for all you have done in providing us salvation. Amen.